Hi, this is Megan McHugh, and this is the podcast of Triple R Zero G, a weekly radio show exploring science fiction, fantasy, and historical. Zero G is broadcast live on Triple R from Melbourne, Australia, every Monday. Hope you enjoy the podcast, and feel free to get in touch with us via our Facebook page or the Triple R website.
G'day. Thanks to Vanessa from Banksia, and I'm Rob Jan.
And Megan McHugh.
And welcome aboard the Starship Zero G, science fiction, fantasy, and historical radio for episode number 1597. Hot Mifo Soup coming through. Our podcast title is Potted on Screen. We would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands of the Wurundjeri from which we broadcast from and to elders past, present, and future. And now, coming up in our immediate future in Naam and surrounds,
the Melbourne International Film Festival, a wonderful part of every Melbourne winter to get you, you know, sort of get you through those grey, wintry days, although it has been quite nice recently. It is nice to lock in a couple of films at the Melbourne International Film Festival to look forward to. So MIF 2026, you can find details for the program, ticketing, and everything I'm about to speak about at mif.com.au if you want any more information or to delve into the beautifully packed, eclectic, thrilling, moving program that they deliver us every single year with loads of interesting films from right across the globe, documentary, shorts, animation, you name it. So MIF, as per usual, is happening across Melbourne City, regional areas, including places like Ballarat, Bendigo, and Geelong, and many more, and as well as online via their MIF online platform. So let's start with the Melbourne cinema screenings. So that portion of the MIF will be running from the 6th to the 23rd of August. And it includes loads of fun things like galas, special events, things like trivia and speed dating, and also things like panel talks and industry events as well. So the cinemas that are participating that you'll be able to see movies at during MIF include Acme, Astor Theatre, The Capitol, The Forum, Hoyts Melbourne Central, IMAX Melbourne, Kino Cinema, Cinema Nova, and Village Cinemas Crown. Then we also have the regional part of the program. So in regional areas across 2 weekends, from the 14th to the 16th of August and the 21st to the 23rd of August, you'll be able to watch selected regional screenings in the towns of Ballarat, Bendigo, Castlemaine, Healesville, Rosebud, Sale, Warrnambool, and Geelong. So that's a really great opportunity if you live in those areas to check out what might be screening as part of MIF near you. And then lastly, we have the sort of selected program that will be streaming online Australia-wide on the MIF online platform. So there's a selection of films there plucked from the program, as well as some free short films. And this is a really great flexible option for those who can't get out to the cinema in person or who don't live in Melbourne and surrounds. So it's another great option of making the program more accessible. So that is happening between the 14th and the 30th of August. You'll be able to access the online streaming part of the MIF program. So before we kind of jump into a more zero-G focused rundown of the MIF this year, I just wanted to give a little bit of a general overview. As usual, programs is absolutely stuffed to the gills, as I mentioned, with excellent films from...
And a paper program too.
Yes. Oh, we love the paper program. I'm biased towards the paper program personally, but of course you can find great rundown of all the films online at mif.com.au as well. And the app, I use the app, which is really great for organizing your screenings and looking at your wish list and looking at your tickets as well. So there's multiple different ways you can access the program and use it to organize your MIF selections. But the program, as well as having some really great Zero G picks that we're going to get to, I did want to call out that they've also got sort of featured screenings and specific program threads that are distinct for 2026. So one of the things is the Hear My Eyes Memento screening that they're doing. So Nolan's film Memento will be screened with a live score that has been composed by Michael Kavanagh of King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Hear My Eyes is a kind of longtime contributor to the MIFF program. They've done all kinds of different screenings like this where they add different scores, music and contemporary takes for beloved films. Also out at the Melbourne Planetarium, they're doing full dome screenings that are these immersive experiences with sound and visuals where they project these incredible images onto this 180 degree dome screen.
High res.
High vis. I was like, that doesn't sound right.
I suppose it would be
high vis as well. That dome would be pretty viewable. High res. Thank you, Rob. And this year the focus will be on scenes from both the aquatic universe and focusing in on the ideas around sleep and consciousness. So those are very intriguing to me. Quick call out, the opening night gala film this year as well is Wicca, which is a bit of a twisted fable that includes a Wicca maid love interest. You can check out more information about the opening night gala.
Does it have Hugo Weaving in it?
Hugo Weaving?
Yeah, never mind.
That one stars Olivia Colman and Alexander Skarsgård, and you can find details about that at miff.com.au as well. And I also wanted to call out that one of the featured strands this year is centered around Kim Novak, and it's called Kim Novak Hollywood Heretic. And this strand focuses on classics that we both know Kim Novak for, such as Vertigo, as well as some of her lesser known films as well. And as usual, we've got all the great animation, shorts, music on film, presented by Triple R, and the Night Shift program strands that we're familiar with as part of the MIFF. So if you want to head along to MIFF, you can get tickets, individual tickets for specific sessions, or you can also buy packs of tickets, which is a really great way to go if you're going to really go hard or go all in. They've got multiple different options for this kind of multi-pass pack option. You can get 3 tickets, 6 tickets, or 12 tickets bundled. So it ends up to be a little bit cheaper for you if you want to do that. And the great thing is you can share them as well. So say, you know, you and your partner want to go, you get a multi-pass 6, and that's 3 movies for the two of you. I did that math for you, right? Right there.
I can't resist saying multi-pass.
Exactly. It's a really great option for those that are really keen on the MIFF. But there's things like the multi-pass 3, which is still a really great option. And this year, if you buy a pass, you can go into the running for some really great prizes. So that's things like a readings voucher, MIFF Deluxe memberships, a Cinema Nova or IMAX movie tickets, or $250 Triple R shop gift voucher as well. So that's kind of a little competition that they're running alongside. Lastly, is the MIFF Festival Hub. I just wanted to call that out. There's a Festival Hub every year, which is a really great place to chat about your films, meet people, be immersed in all things MIFF. And this year it's located on level 1 of ACME. It's open daily from midday till the last session of the day. This year sponsored by Asahi. And in addition to being a really great place to just hang out, there's loads of free events as well. You can find details about that on the MIFF website or in the program. Things like mixes, and there's also a whistling competition in honour of the documentary screening this year called Whistle, which centres around a whistling competition. So if you want more information on those free events, there's also some ticketed events as well. Again, head to miff.com.au. So that's the general rundown of the MIFF beloved time of year. And I believe we're going to dig a little bit more into the specific offerings of this year's program.
Well monologued, Megan.
Thank you. My MIFF monologue, I whip it out every year. But every year you've got to give the because MIFF is just such a great time of year. I feel like it's great to, because I do think there's something for everyone. And there's loads of ways to access the program and loads of ways to see things. So,
yeah. A cold opening because, of course, MIFF Festival time every year in Melbourne.
Oh, it's a chilly one, but that's, you know, you walk out of the cinema, you know, little puffs of air in the cold winter's night, chatting about the films.
Not every one of us walk out. Some of us just scuttle back up into the air ducts.
Into the attics.
Now, speaking of ACME, they've got a small tribute to Sam Neill.
Yes.
On Monday. I think they're playing My Brilliant Career and Evil Angels.
Nice.
Which is a nice range there.
Yeah.
And look, much has been said recently about the late Sir Nigel John Dermot Sam Neill, who died on July 13th in Sydney, age 78. Mm-hmm. Great actor, a vinter, an activist. Yeah. And clearly all around a nice bloke.
I think all the reports coming out is he was just a really great man.
And in tribute, we're spinning some soundtracks from his large and small screen catalogue today, most with a zero-G genre slant.
Yes.
Fittingly, I first saw Sam on the telly around 1982 playing a knight in the ITV adaptation of Sir Walter Scott's Ivanhoe. Neil was not the hero. He had the role of Sir Brian de Bois Guilbert. In this context, a conflicted villain who yet sacrifices himself, much to his own surprise, for love. And here's Alan Ferguson's main title theme for the 1982 Ivanhoe.
Hi, I'm George Takei, and I play Admiral Sulu in Star Trek. Welcome aboard the Starship Zero-G. Admiral? Hey, a guy can dream, can't he?
Alan Ferguson's main title theme for the 1982 television movie Ivanhoe, with Sam Neill, of course, playing the ostensible villain in that one. Now, there's a trebuchet load of zero-G genre picks amongst the hundreds of films at this year's MIFF. Mm-hmm. We've identified about 9 or 10 science fiction films out of the lineup. Those are the ones with the antennas on the tops of their heads. Megan, please give us some details about two similar themed science fiction ones, Sheep in the Box and Replica.
Happy to. So these two caught my eye immediately. So first one that I'll talk about is Sheep in the Box. This one is a Japanese film directed by Hirokazu Koreeda, and it's a drama and it's a science fiction. So both of the films we're about to speak about do touch a little bit on technology, AI and so on. So you'll see why we've decided to feature them. So Sheep in the Box presents us with a familiar but still poignant science fiction premise. In this story, in a future Japan, a couple suffering the loss of their young son adopt an AI android child to help them move through their grief / replace him. So again, we're looking at family trauma and kind of these deep human traits, things like grief, and exploring them through AI, technology, robots, etc. So we have seen this before, but this is a really interesting take. So created by the company Rebirth, this android has been made available to the family on a free trial. That's how they get you. And again, as I said, it's kind of pitched as this replacement of the son that they lost. But our couple, they do have differing kind of mixed feelings about whether this experiment is going to help or harm them. So this is reflected as well in their differing views on technology as a whole. One part of our couple is extremely enamored with the technology, the wife, and the husband is quite avoidant. And then also the fact that their new robotic son is kind of a replicated image of the son that they lost. So Sheep in the Box is a study of grief and family, and it does use this sci-fi premise to explore themes, as I mentioned, around technology, loss, humanity, and is sort of a furthering and beautiful examination of some of the themes that have already been present in the work of Koreeda before. So he directed the Korean film Broker, which was in MIFF 2022, which is about a young mother who discovers there's a group going around stealing abandoned babies and then selling them again on a new market. That one starred Sang Kang-ho from Parasite. And another one of Koreeda's works is the Palme d'Or winning Shoplifters, which was in MIFF 2018, which is about a family who shoplifts to survive, a Japanese family. So we can kind of see the themes and ideas that Koreeda is interested in, and they all come through in his latest Sheep in the Box.
I hope he explains the title.
Well, I think there's going to be some deep revelation, I reckon, partway through. So science fiction drama from Japan. And the second film I wanted to mention is Replica. Now, this is a documentary. It's directed by Chua Liang, and it is an Australian film. It's sort of co-production between Australia and France. It includes Mandarin. And it's a documentary. So Replica follows three Chinese women who find the support and connection they seek via relationships with AI partners, so artificial intelligence partners and relationships. So we have Kin, who is in a relationship with Mr. Lu. He's her constant companion and AI lover, and she also kind of goes on dates with him with the help of, you know, there's a whole sort of way that she has incorporated him into her life despite the fact that he is AI. We also have Sonia, who finds respite from busy urban life in her relationship with Steven, another AI companion. And we lastly have Muna, who escapes the daily reality of her failing marriage through the conversations she has with her companion on ChatGPT. So Replica is made by a graduate of VCA right here in Melbourne. And it comes from an idea based on some of Liang's own experiences. And Liang's documentary is an extension of her short My AI Lover. And I think what was interesting and really came through to me from looking into this one is it treats its subjects with a lot of care and empathy. So it's a very refreshing approach to what is a very timely topic. I mean, AI and relationships with AI and so on. But it really seeks to understand these bonds and these kinds of relationships the women have formed. So the film explores the nature of AI relationships, how technology plays a role in fantasy and connection, and how it all intersects with the realities of gender equality and workplace pressures in modern China. I'd say it's probably also good for fans of 2025's documentary that showed at MIF last year called Mistress Dispeller. And the director Choa Liang and producer Andy Huang will be guests of the festival and in attendance at sessions of the film Replica, showing at this year's MIF.
Sounds like next season of Black Mirror is already underway.
It is. It's got tinges of that. I'm very intrigued by this one.
Other science fiction films at this year's MIF include Chronovisor, which is a great premise about being able to photograph the past. Light Pillar, one with a great title, Mum, I'm Alien Pregnant. Nostalgia for the Future, which is a documentary about the filmmaker behind La Chaette. Species, not to be mistaken for the 1995 Natasha Henstridge film. And Crocodile and Our Effed Up World. Mm. So Crocodile is a documentary about a Nigerian collective of young filmmakers in the northern city of Kaduna, so not Nollywood, more for that, who self-style as the critics, creating DIY science fiction short films on a shoestring or less. I've checked some of their work out on YouTube. Just go The Critics, Nigeria, and it's full of promising energy. The Critics and New Zealand director Pietra Brett Kelly put this doco together to capture the youthful enthusiasm that budding creatives the world over will recognise. Now, to me, this highlights next generation filmmakers that literally touches base with what I think are the finest aspirations of any film festival, which is to elevate and illuminate the aspirational. So check out Crocodile and indeed go on YouTube and have a look at their enormously popular websites. Megan, let's pivot weirdly, as is our nature, to Our Effed Up World.
We do love a weird pivot. Our Effed Up World, yes, directed by Alice Mal McKay, an Australian filmmaker. This one's a comedy, horror, science fiction, and it's produced by Jane Schoenbrunn, who did the film I Saw the TV Glow, which was at MIF 2024.
Oh, yeah.
And they also have a new film coming out called Teenage Sex and Death at Camp Miasma, which I'm very excited about. But we're not talking about that film. We're talking about McKay's film, Our Effed Up World. And this one is the latest from probably Australia's most prolific horror director. McKay has been making films since her teens, and Our Effed Up World is her seventh film, despite the fact she's a mere 21 years old. So Our Effed Up World is an out-of-this-world tale about Sherry, who is still grieving the death of her grandmother while being quite fed up with the fact that her father, who's an astronomer, is spending his time looking at the stars above rather than processing his own grief. But then an alien crash lands in a meteorite, of course, because it's a zero-G film, so alien crash lands in a meteorite and starts making trouble in their small town, which forces Sherry to kind of buck up and try to go ahead and save the world, even though she's a little bit disillusioned with it at the moment. And every great savior of the world does need a bit of a crew behind her. And luckily, Sherry has along for the ride her dad, Hank, and a kind of mishmash gang of loyal mates, a Scooby gang, if you will. Featuring a rundown video store that our alien has taken up shop in, Our Effed Up World is kind of a retro nostalgic queer horror adventure that leverages themes of found family via a cast that includes several Aussie icons. And as I mentioned, Jane Schoenbrunn is a producer on this one. And there's also a cameo from lesbian space princess co-writer and director.
That was a fun Lila animated Varkis. Movie. Yeah.
Yes. So that one, Lesbian Space Princess, showed last at last year's MIFF. So director Alice Mauer McKay will also be appearing in one of the MIFF talks, Modern Movie Making. So you can look up that as well. Or head along to see Our Effed Up World, a tale of aliens in suburbia.
I believe I talked over your naming the cameo from Lesbian Space Princess.
What yes, Leela Varghese.
Apologies. Now, Sam Neill's most notable science fiction role was, of course, paleontologist Dr. Alan Grant, featured in Jurassic Park number 1, number 3, and most recently in Jurassic World Dominion. So here's a sweet solo piano riff on John Williams' iconic theme covered by Peter Benz.
Hi, this is Bear McCreary, and you're listening to Zero G.
The thing is, you're still alive when they start eating you. Peter Benz covers John Williams' classic Jurassic Park theme in honour of the late great Sir Sam Neill.
We are talking MIFF today on Zero G. We've been talking a little bit about some of the Zero G advised picks from the MIFF 2026 program. And we've already done a little bit of a rundown of some of the documentary science fiction related picks from us, including things like Sheep in the Box, Replica, Our Effed Up World. And we'll be continuing on to have a look at what some of the other program offerings are and providing a little bit of a hint of some of the ones that look pretty interesting to us. MIFF is running from the 6th to the 23rd of August. That is the Melbourne City Cinema screenings portion of the program. You'll be able to catch screenings in regional areas across the weekends of the 14th and the 21st of August. And also available will be a selected program on MIFF online between the 14th and 30th of August. You can check out the program and other information about MIFF on either their app or at miff.com.au or your trusty paper program.
If you please, co-pilot Megan, give us the star deets of another MIFF science fiction film.
Yes, so Rose of Nevada, we have, I guess it is science fiction adjacent, but it's a bit more fantastical, I would say. This one is directed by Mark Jenkin. It is out of the UK, and it is a surreal, eerie drama that really hones in on a creepy seaside town, which we love the likes of, a la Widow's Bay. So this one, though, is set near the Cornwall coast. Rose of Nevada, it's a lo-fi immersive film from Cornish director Mark Jenkin and explores themes of memory and history via a bit of a time travel premise. It was also beautifully shot on 16mm, so it looks very rich and visual, and I think that kind of adds to a little bit of the eerie vibe as well. So Rose of Nevada stars two hot young British actors, Callum Turner, we've seen him before in Eternity and Masters of the Air, and George McKay, who is going to be in the new Sense and Sensibility adaptation and was also Ned Kelly in True History of the Kelly Gang. So Turner and McKay play two fishermen, and in the film Rose of Nevada, which is set in this seaside fishing town in Cornwall, and the town has been declining for the last 30 years, ever since this fishing trawler called the Rose of Nevada disappeared mysteriously at sea, along with its crew. So it's quite unfortunate because before the disappearance, our town had been thriving, doing well, loads of fish, doing fantastically, but ever since then, not so much. However, one day through the fog, she appears again, the old Rose of Nevada, as though nothing ever happened. So gets a new crew, our likes of Callum and George. But when the new crew go out and then return from their first fishing expedition, which did go suspiciously well, they find that the town they're returning to is not the one they knew. Rather, they've been transported back in time to 30 years ago. The original time of when Rose of Nevada and the town were thriving. To boot, each man has been mistaken for a different townsperson from that era. So it's a little bit psychological, a little bit weird, very intense, intimate, and obviously makes really great use of the location and the vibes, basically. So that one is Rose of Nevada, a little bit of an eerie seaside tale from director Mark Jenkin.
So from the science fiction, and that one actually sounds a bit borderline, and that's the thing. We do our best to try and figure out what they are, but, you know, sight unseen, unless it's a retro one.
Yeah, and sometimes it's like a bit uncanny, but you can't quite bucket it the way, you know, the genre bucket. So we just anything a bit weird and kooky, we'll cover it.
Well, you know, I mean, there's a documentary, not a doco, a drama about the Heaven's Gate cult. I refuse to put that into science fiction. You know. Now, there are a ton of fantasy films, about 30-odd, by my reckoning, and in this year's Myth, too many to list here. But when after the show, when I can get back online sometime, but you can find, you'll find them all listed on the Zero G Facebook page. So I'll give you an alphabetical list, keyed with fantasy science fiction logos and stuff, and also a full list of the different genre titles within each one. Oh, yes. So here's one that caught my eye in the fantasy, probably literary because it's a horror one, so lots of eye-catching things happen in those. Marama, or it could be Marama. I haven't heard it pronounced yet. Director Taratoa Stappard goes full Maori gothic horror as a late 19th century Maori teacher is lured to England, where she finds the Lord of the Manor knows more than she was told. He knew about her family history and is dangerously obsessed with it and Maori culture. I like the idea of Maori Gothic. Looks to be a powerhouse performance from the actress in it, and a gorgeously produced ghost story woven within harrowing colonisation themes. Reconnected with his own Aotearoa New Zealand heritage, Stoppard hopes to connect the audience too, underlining contemporary issues reflected in the past by, as the proverb goes, walking backwards into the future. What I like about The Myth, amongst other things, is the fact that they do source movies from everywhere. So you get to see insights into cultures that normally the genre aspect is not as heavily emphasised. So I love to be able to compare this as a ghost story with, say, a Japanese one or a South Korean one or an Australian one.
Being able to see international selection of this really beautifully curated program, I think I agree with you, it's such an asset because we get access to all of these films in one period of time that, you know, I think we've got a lot more options now for seeking out interesting stuff from different countries and interesting genre stuff specifically. But MIFF is just such a great shortcut to some things that people have gone, okay, this one is worth seeing and it's maybe something you haven't seen before. I haven't really, I've never come across Maori Gothic horror before.
I think I've said at least two or three. You will find that the MIFF has a long tail afterwards too, because you'll see some of these show up on SBS, they'll come out on DVD and so on. Not just wishful thinking either, Megan.
Not just wishful thinking, which is also showing at the MIFF, directed by Graham Parks. It's American fantasy, drama, comedy, romance, and did catch my eye because of the two leads. And also the fact it's a high-concept rom-com. So it is actually Parks' debut feature. And this one centres around an incompatible but still in love couple, Charlie, played by Lewis Pullman of Thunderbolt, Salem's Lot, and Julia, played by Maya Hawke of Stranger Things fame, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Fear Street. So Charlie and Julia both want different things. So unfortunately, they do spend a large amount of their time bickering, despite the fact that they do love each other. To try and help out their relationship, they visit a pair of twin TikTok love gurus. which, I mean, sure. And the session does work for the most part, reminding them what they love about each other. But it wouldn't be a zero-G relevant pick without a tinge of the otherworldly. And their little kind of love guru session also unleashes something else entirely. This one's set in the Pacific Northwest and beautifully captures that area and leans into extrapolating the fantastical potential implications of something like the self-help book, The Secret, to carve out this witty and funny love story that has a bit of a wild streak of supernatural or mystical thrown in there as the highs and lows of Charlie and Julia's love alters the world around them. We've also got a couple of appearances from John Hamm, Randall Park popping up in here. And writer-director Graham Parks and the composer as well, Oliver Lewin, are guests of the MIFF, and they'll be in attendance of one of the Armani Beauty Cinema Club opening night sessions of the film. So if you do want to go to one where the writer-director and composer are there, just have a look at miff.com.au and see which session that is. But that one is called Wishful Thinking, a bit of a weird, fantastical rom-com out of the US, first feature for Graham Parks.
Now, one of the creatives behind the hilarious Aussie spy spoof TV series, Danger 5, has written and directed a movie about a talking fox aiding a human in matters of the heart, in a story that's way more weird than that first sounds. But the cast on this one sounds great. Olivia Colman voices the fox. Miranda Otto makes an appearance too. And Sam Neill voices a very cheeky magpie. And this is obviously a posthumous role. And he's got a few of those actually coming out in this year and next year, including Godzilla X Kong. Which is another.
Haven't we done a Godzilla X? They've all got these different. Yeah, maybe we've done a Godzilla vs. Kong or something.
Yeah. And so that's something to look forward to still.
Yeah.
Now, one of the roles I remember Sam Neill for is the Merlin miniseries, 1998 two-part show starring Sam Neill as Merlin. It was kind of, you know, very loosey-goosey from the legends, but that's all right.
It was for fun, for TV, you know. Yeah. It was the 90s.
Yeah. So it had Miranda Richardson, Isabella Rossellini, Martin Short, Helena Bonham Carter, Rutger Hauer, James Earl Jones, Sir John Gielgud.
It was stacked.
And Lena Headey, who wasn't quite as well known then. And there was a sequel in 2006, Merlin's Apprentice. So let's have a track from that, In Search of the Grail by Trevor Jones.
Hello, I'm Ray Harryhausen, animation pioneer. You're listening to Zero G on 3RRR FM.
Yeah, Sam Neill's 1998 television miniseries, Merlin. He plays the title character. Okay, so
we are talking MIFF today, Melbourne International Film Festival. Time looms. The program has been released online and via paper programs that you can find in the real world out and about. And you can buy tickets online now, and you can also sort of organize your schedule in the app and look at the details in via the app, website, or program. So you've got so many options for how to organize your MIFF period of time. As I mentioned before, they're screening across cinemas in Melbourne. There's also some screenings in regional areas across two weekends in August, and streaming online from about mid-August as well. Loads of options for you to try and catch up with some of the films if they take your interest. You can check out more at miff.com.au, and that's also where you can book your tickets or buy your ticket festival passes and all of that jazz, and explore any of the interesting events, panel talks, special galas. All of that's detailed on there. It's really easy to navigate, so check it out. But Rob has done some of the work of going through and picking out some of our genre things, and we've been highlighting a couple of films that really took our interest to kind of give you a little bit more info about them, see whether they take your fancy for this year's MIFF. And so we're going to continue rolling on through the program.
Amongst the other fantasy films, the usual blood and other fluids-soaked lineup for the night shift strand, unsettling, transgressive and downright horripilating movies. There are some restorations of the influential Ninja Scroll anime, very important one that, and the David Lynch produced vampire movie Nadja. Another vampire movie, Ulrich Ottinger's The Blood Countess, rises from the grave. And there's also the sequel to the anime star performer Popel of Chimney Town called Frozen in Time. So looking forward to that one too. And one I took note of was Coyote versus Acme. Not the Australian Centre for Moving Image. But
where you will find the MIFF Festival Hub on level one daily throughout the festival.
And that's where you can pick up your paper programs.
So exactly, exactly.
Mine from there. Now, Coyote versus Acme was shelved in 2023 after it had been made to obtain a corporate tax write-off. They thought better of that later. And this is the story of Wile E. Coyote and his lawsuit against the Acme Corporation, whose extensive category of mail order gadgetry catastrophically fails him time after time in his endless pursuit of the Roadrunner. The meep shall inherit the earth. It's directed by Dave Green and written by Sammy Birch from a story by Birch, James Gunn and Jeremy Slater.
Wow.
Well, I think the Coyote Better Call Saul. Ketchup Entertainment acquired the rights for this in 2025. They also did North American distribution for The Day the Earth Blew Up, which you might have heard of. This is stars Will Forte as a down-and-out billboard attorney who becomes the lawyer for Wile E. Coyote. It also has John Cena playing the Acme Corporation's lawyer.
Fun. He's going to be relishing that, really sinking his teeth into
it. I love that it's got Luis Guzman playing the judge.
Oh, gosh.
But, you know, I'm sure he has some kind of legal experience. And there will be cameos from a lot of the Warner Brothers characters in this.
I bet.
And I think the Looney Tunes voice actor, Eric Balzer, may be a guest of the festival as well for this one. So, fantasy, that includes witchcraft. Pasolini's film about the sorceress Medea is showing in the festival. Another one in a more modern setting is Corpus. And as part of a focus on Kim Novak, as we mentioned before, witchcraft 1960s style with bell, book and candle.
Fun.
Which features a really cute kitty cat. Plus Vertigo is showing and a doco about Kim Novak's part in that masterpiece Alfred Hitchcock film.
I love Vertigo.
Which brings us to the historical. Lots of documentaries there.
Yes.
And other things. And let's have another quick track here. And this is Omen 3, The Final Conflict, which stars Sam Neill as Damien Thorne, all grown up as the US ambassador to the UK, but also as the Antichrist. And this is the theme is by Jerry Goldsmith, who, of course, produced the music for the original one.
This is Ashley C. Williams. I played Lindsay in The Human Centipede and the title character in Julia. You're listening to Zero G on 3RRR.
Which is the moth and which is the flame? Sam Neill playing Damien Thorne in The Omen 3, The Final Conflict, doing a bit of a musical tribute to Sir Sam Neill today on the show, as well as talking about the Melbourne International Film Festival. Now, I do wonder, because Sam Neill put aside the knighthood that he was given because he said it was too grand by far. Later on, repented, which is a funny thing to say about the Antichrist, and adopted as well, which makes me wonder if he ever said to anyone, kneel before me. Okay, so we're looking at historical movies in the myth now. There's a lot of documentaries in that category and so on.
Loads of
them. One that attracted my attention was The Samurai and the Prisoner. Now, I loves me a good samurai story and a good detective one. So, yes, I am very fond of Laura Jo Rowland's Sanno Ikiro novels. And this film is based on a novel by mystery writer Honobu Yonezawa. It sounds very promising. It's directed by Kiyoshi Kurosawa. No relation. More known for his J-horror and psychodrama movies. A samurai in rebellion and under siege in a castle is baffled by a murder amongst his own people. As if he hasn't got enough
to worry about.
And he turns to a brilliant military strategist who fortunately has been imprisoned within the castle.
Oh, what luck.
Yeah, to help him solve the crime. So it's like Hannibal Lecterish in a way.
Okay, yeah.
So
joining forces.
Yeah, quid pro quo. There's also in the historical section some of Lisandro Alonso's revisionist westerns with Viggo Mortensen. I've always liked the idea of those ones. Eureka and Joucha. And there's one about how meteorologists were critical in the World War II Allied D-Day landings in a film called Pressure, which has Brendan Fraser playing Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Nice.
And Mark Cousins narrates another of his epic history of cinema sagas with his mesmerising lilt. This time it's a massive three-parter condensing the first 9 episodes of a documentary about documentary filmmaking. Other docos that intrigue me, A History of Concrete, because, of course.
I know. I saw that. I was like, ooh, I love weird docos like that. Not that I'm calling it weird, but.
And the, I hope it is, actually.
I hope it is, too.
And then there's the one about competitive whistling that,
yes,
Megan
that I mentioned
before, whistle. I'm hoping that's as interesting as the one about porridge.
I loved the Golden Spurtle. And there was that one on Excel spreadsheets, and I guess whistle is this year's kind of quirky documentary.
We also have the horror comedy Anymart, which is set in a Japanese market, directed by Yasuki Iwasaki. And as Megan mentioned earlier on in the show, Christopher Nolan's Memento is getting a screening with an all-new live score. That was before he was anyone.
I know. And now look at him.
Now, the short films are too numerous to list.
Yes.
Been through this before, but will contain many science fiction, fantasy, a few horror, and so on.
And that's not even getting into the animation offerings and so on and so forth,
Well, we have actually covered a couple of the animation ones.
But there's always animated more. Short. There's so much. The MIF has so much to offer.
So one that I saw that kind of didn't really fit into the science fiction, fantasy, or historical is called Chili Finger. And how many times have we heard on Zero G when we're dining out someone say, "Waiter, there's a finger in my food." Well, that's the premise of this black comedy directed by Ed Bender and Stefan Helstad. And before you can lawyer up, there's a stellar cast on the case, including Judy Greer, Sean Astin, John Goodman and Brian Cranston.
Great.
So for this one, we are in real Coen Brothers territory, I am sure. I'm not quite sure whose fast food restaurant this food showed up in, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it was like Las Palas Hermanos, you know, something like that. Yeah, so that's about all of the films we have today to talk about on Zero G. When I get back online after the show, might not be immediately, but very soon, today sometime, I promise, I'll put an alphabetical list up on the Zero G Facebook page, which will give you a key which will show you, you know, which ones are science fiction, which ones are fantasy, etc. We do our best to select that.
So we know labels, it's hard to, you can't categorise them, but just to give you a bit of a gist of where these things fall. But as mentioned, there's so much kind of weird overlapping fringe offerings in MIF, not to mention loads of non-genre content as well. Mm. Even just the Zero G specific ones, the list is super long. So loads to see in the program. You can also look at mif.com.au. There's an app as well and the paper program, of course. Screenings start at the start of August, but you can buy your tickets now and start planning.
And when we're fossicking through the entrails to find the genre gems in the program, we're trying very much to look for a sense of, I call it, otherness.
Yes.
And let's face it, just plain weird.
Yeah. And I mean, there's always been quite a good dose of that in the Melbourne International Film Festival programming. But I do think recently we've seen some weird and wacky stuff. There's no shortage of it, let's put it that way. I think filmmaking is much more embracing of the weird these days.
Like, you know, I mean, there was one that you wouldn't necessarily expect is Zero G fodder. But for me, it was, because it was something exotic. And it's about a small island in the middle of the ocean. It's like apparently the furthest permanent habitation in the world from any major landmass. And I thought, I think it's called Just Tristan. Mm. Well, no, sorry, Tristan Forever. Kind of like Sir Tristan from Cornwall, actually. Riffing off of that. But, and it's one of those things, like a dramatised sort of documentary kind of thing, where a French doctor who's sort of washed up and out of society, has had enough of the rat race, goes to live permanently on this island. And so, you know, afterwards I'm looking it up on Google Maps and stuff and zooming in. I thought, you know, that sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, pop that into the list.
Love that.
Yeah. Yes, Tristan Forever is the name of the title. All right, so, well, we're going to go out with a track from, I think, you know, turning away from some of Sam Neill's horror output, with Hunt for the Wilder People. I pronounced that right this time, didn't I?
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, what was it you used to say?
Hunt for the Wilder
People. That's right, yeah.
And, of course, it's got Taika Waititi at the helm of it. And Sam Neill plays a, well, you know, pretty much himself.
A curmudgeon, though.
Yeah, a farming guy who's ends up in company of a young boy, and they are on the run from various people. Not evil people.
No.
No, but, you know, one of Taika Waititi's gentle, fun comedies.
Yeah.
And the out track for today will be Cloak of the Sky from Hunt for the Wilder People. So next week we are probably going to look at Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey.
Yes, it's finally hit the screens, big, small and IMAX.
With its cast of superheroes.
Yes, gosh, got everyone in there, haven't you?
Yeah, including Jason Bourne.
What's your relationship to The Odyssey? Like as a piece of work?
Well, look, I've lived with it all my life, basically. You know, I grew up watching the Kirk Douglas movie Ulysses. I was watching the science fiction series Ulysses 31. Mm-hmm. There are so many things based upon The Odyssey. Yes. It's one of the seminal works. So,
yeah.
You know, like 2001 and Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? So many different ones along those lines. I think even Harold and Kumar.
Go to White Castle.
Escaped from Guantanamo yeah. Bay at one stage. You know, so there's all of that. And of course, I've read The Odyssey a couple of times. I'm actually reading a new translation of it at the moment.
Ah.
And so, yeah, I'm up on it as much as I can be.
Are you anticipating Nolan's take on the whole thing? Or?
Yeah, I'm curious about it. I've heard that he cuts out some characters, which you probably have to do.
I mean, it's an epic for a reason.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting seeing it because you could just... You could feel like you could just go and watch Troy and
then
slow, go over into the Odysseus. So I wouldn't expect too much airtime for The Wooden Horse, for example.
Yes, yes.
Because it is after that.
Yes.
And I hope it's as nuanced as Euripides' The Trojan Women, for example, which is a hell of a classical play.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing it because I know Nolan will at least deliver a massive visual spectacle.
Yes, 100%.
So we will go out with Cloak of the Sky in tribute to the late, great Sir Sam Neill. And after that, Astral Glamour with Joe Brunetti coming up next.
And when the Melbourne International Film Festival is on, we probably will return to you with maybe some reviews or tidbits of the things that we've been able to get along and see.
The Skuck's Life chose us. Thank you, Megan.
Thank you, Rob.
G'day, this is Rob Jan. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Triple R's Zero G, a weekly radio show exploring science fiction, fantasy and historical. Zero G is broadcast live on Triple R from Melbourne, Australia every Monday. Hope you enjoy the podcast and feel free to get in touch with us via our Facebook page or the Triple R website.